Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Brian Hartz, founder and head coach at Sunshine City Tennis. And welcome to the latest edition of What's Your Racket? Radio St. Pete's roundup of local tennis and pickleball news. Our top story this week is, what else? St. Petersburg native Daniel Collins winning the Miami Open Tennis Tournament on March 30th at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. The unseeded Collins defeated number 4 seed Elena Rybakina of Kazakhstan in straight sets, 7-5, 6-3, to capture the first WTA 1000 title of her career and catapult her ranking from number 53 to number 22. Born and raised in St. Pete, Collins has been ranked as highly as number 7 in the world in singles and was a finalist at the 2022 Australian Open. Before turning pro, Collins played college tennis at the University of Virginia and won the NCAA Women's Singles Championship in both 2014 and 2016. In January, however, the 30-year-old Collins announced that 2024 would be her final season on the WTA Tour, citing numerous health challenges she's endured over the years and her desire to start a family. In her post-championship press conference in Miami, Collins spoke candidly about her decision to retire at a time when she's playing some of the best tennis of her career and how she's savoring every moment as her career winds down. She also revealed that she's taken up pickleball as a hobby, playing the sport with family and friends to relax.
Danielle, congratulations on your first 1,000 level title. Just talk us through the emotions right now and how you're feeling after this incredible 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, what a dream come true to have played at the level that I've played consistently over the last 2 weeks. This has been such a journey for me. 30 years old, you know, this is the finals of my first 1,000, and it's been a different journey than I think a lot of the stories that we're familiar with. And yeah, it's just been amazing to go out today and to have felt the energy that I felt from the fans and literally feel like I'm playing in front of thousands of my best friends. That was just surreal. I will never forget this day because of that. Everywhere I looked, people were like, let's go, Danielle, you can do this. Like, the encouragement and support that I got was just, it was hard for me to hide the emotion because it just, I think these are the moments that we live for and don't always get to have them. It was just really special.
Are you reconsidering retirement?
No, I'm not. Thank you, though. I feel like all of these questions are coming from such a good place because I feel like a lot of people would like to continue seeing me play well. But like I said, I have some health challenges, and with those health challenges, it makes things for me away from the court a little more difficult, and I hope that everyone can respect that. It's a very emotional and personal thing, and yeah.
There we go. Daniel, obviously, St. Pete Pearl, obviously, Florida, and then you being the first American woman to win at Hard Rock, that's something special being since the tournament changed locations. You mentioned obviously how hard it was to hide the emotions, but had some fist pumps out there, building up the crowd a bit, and then that final match point. Can you share those emotions a bit? What was that like in some words?
Well, I had a few match points, and Elena was doing some great things out there and pushing me back and really forcing me to come up with some good stuff, movement-wise, hitting hard shots, hitting the small parts of the court. And so that is really challenging when someone forces you to come up with your best stuff. And I certainly felt that way on the returns and the serving today. I knew that I had to bring my A game. And, you know, I think it's great when you have so many matches where you feel like you're in the zone and you're playing well. And then I'm a human. And so sometimes you start sitting there and you're like, is this too good to be true? Am I going to like lose my ability to place the ball inside the court today, or I'm gonna like trip and fall? Like, that's like a thing that like crosses your mind. It's like, is this like kind of too good to be true, like the way I'm playing right now? And then just trying to bring it in and stay focused and think about things tactically, technically, and make adjustments when needed, because I think this is what tennis is all about, is a game of adjusting. So I had to do that a lot during this match, and had to be open-minded and try to get a little bit creative, and I did a good job of that. And I told myself, you know, just keep those emotions in the locker room, and then we can go and be emotional a little bit later. But it was hard to hold it in. It was just such a happy day for me on the court, and I felt like, you know, whether I won or lost, like having the crowd support, I've never gotten to experience anything like it. And the only thing similar is playing against Barty in Australia, and the crowd was the other way, which was also really cool to be a part of as well. But to have, like, literally felt like I was playing in front of thousands of my best friends. I'll never forget it.
Danielle, congratulations. So this tournament, we have been surprised by more experienced players. We are seeing Dimitrov tomorrow in the final, you playing in the final and winning. Do you think this is maybe a sign, a signal that the new generation is not yet established, or how do you interpret this? Like, do you see it as a sign?
Or in a more positive way, maybe like the older people like me and Grigor, maybe like we just have a little bit more wisdom under our belt, right? So I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, I like to think of it more like that rather than the what you were saying. But yeah, I'll go with that perspective instead.
Right after match point, you sort of bent over and stood there for a while. What was going through your head then? And also, my second question, you're going to play past the U.S. Open, right? Or is the U.S. Open going
to
be...
We'll get to that later. Okay, yeah, not sure. We'll do that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, that game was long. It was hard. It was physical. I had to come up with some big serves, which takes a lot out of you. And that was by far, I think, aside from my very first match this tournament, that was the longest I had battled out there. And like I said, Elena was just pushing me all over the court and coming up with hard hitting shots. I had to do a good job of absorbing, running, getting scrappy at times, trying to get my racket on the ball, trying to counter and play aggressive. And so I was also, you know, feeling nerves and like I wanted to close it out and I didn't want to let the fans down. There were so many thoughts going through my head. So I think at the end, I was just like, thank God. Thank you. Got through that hurdle. So, just all caught up with me.
Hey, Danielle. So just to go back to that point and that game, really, which you said was really long and lots of battling and very, I mean, it was tense to watch. I imagine it was extremely tense to play. Were there other moments like in your career that flashed through your mind at that point, like NCAA, like games with the NCAA title on the line? Or is there like, what were you calling on to get through that and find the stuff that you needed?
Yeah. Well, I think all of the past experiences, positive and negative, definitely help. And you have moments where you're like, oh, like this is similar to that and that can help me. And then you have moments where you're like, wait a second, up a set and a break. Oh, not this again. So that can creep into at times. And I think just staying within myself, a lot of the psychological work that I've done has been kind of centered around breathing and the routines between the point to kind of get me centered. And I feel like this tournament has like been the most centered that I've been. I know I sound like a little yoga hippy dippy, like, and I know that's probably really weird with my persona, but I do try to like think about that stuff a lot to keep me in check. And you know, I feel like the experience that I had like playing in Australia and in front of big crowds, like especially when I played Barty, was really helpful. I also think in other finals that I played, like San Jose, Palermo, and those were like much smaller arenas compared to what we were playing in today. I think that helped. Playing under pressure at Billie Jean King Cup, a couple of close ties there that I've gotten to be a part of has also helped, because then you're playing for something bigger than yourself, and that that is a lot more pressure, just like in college. So I think all those experiences helped me, but I was very focused too on having my box help me as much as they could. Having that support is critical, I think, for us as individual athletes, and having people that have been in my corner for so long, like Ben and then Jimmy coming out today, and helps. It's nice to have the former world number two in your corner, giving you some tactical advice in those moments because they've been there. So that was really helpful as well. So I think I have to credit my box too for helping me get through those big moments. There are moments where you feel like you get punched in the stomach, and there's moments where you feel you're so excited and happy, and it's just a roller coaster out there. I think it's like that for everyone.
Hi, congratulations. Hi.
Hi.
So when you woke up this morning or step on the court today with knowing that, you know, this is going to be your last Miami Open or the last year, does this you know, your decision make you feel more pressure or more you can appreciate the situation more?
Yeah, I mean, when I walked in today, I immediately had like a few cameramen on me, and we were having some great moments with my team, and I said, you know, these are some like really special moments, and I, you know, don't want to be so focused on everything else where I don't get to kind of take it in. And I really think like part of the reason why I played so well and did a good job today was because I had that mentality of like, I'm going to enjoy every minute of this because this is my last year. This is my last season. And these are some of my final events. And I want to remember these moments. I do look back on sometimes different stages in my career and be like, wow, that's kind of a blur. And I don't really remember it that much. It doesn't really seem that long ago when you say, oh, 4 years or 6 years, but then in a lot of ways it can feel like an eternity. So I'm just trying to get better at like taking it in, like you were saying. And I feel like today I woke up and when we were in the car, I was like, oh, this is going to be like the first time that I play like a finals, like in front of like in my home state and like have a lot of crowd support. This is so exciting. And we changed the playlist. We got really pumped up. And it was just so much fun. This day has been, like, the best. So I've been going for the last, like, few months, playing back-to-back tournaments. And now I get to celebrate with friends. I had so many family members and friends that have flown in and from all around the country and world. And we're going to have a great weekend. We've got a pickleball tournament coming up here tomorrow. I'm competitive, so we're always doing competitive activities. Fun fact. And, I've got a night out on the town. Haven't done that in a while. So, hopefully I can stay up for it. And we're a non-tennis outfit. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm just curious. When you took the decision that this was going to be your last year, did you set yourself any sort of targets or goals? Was there a sense of, you know, I really want to win a big one in this last year? Does that change a little bit now?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to win like every tournament that I've signed up for, but I do think that because it is my last year, I'm like, you know, I really want to try to win a Masters 1000 this year. That's really important to me. That was something that I talked a lot about with everybody close to me. I really wanted to make a push to be able to like bring out my best tennis, and I'm so glad that I've been able to figure out some of the physical things I've needed to do to kind of like peak at the right time and to feel like I'm ready to go. And I certainly did that this tournament, but it has been a goal. Yeah. So I got to tick it off the list.
We'll do one more.
Okay. Congratulations, Danielle. If you think about your state of mind 2 weeks ago, beginning this tournament, what was the vibe? How did you consider yourself as a contender? Did you feel that you was about to play very good tennis? What was the point 2 weeks ago arriving here?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago looked a little different. I was coming off a back injury that happened in Austin. I was devastated not to be able to finish out that tournament, because that's also a really important event for me. It's one of my home tournaments and one of my favorite events of the year. And then I went to Indian Wells and had multiple days off in a row. I had a few days, I could not exaggerate, I literally couldn't couldn't like walk. And I was having to have my boyfriend help me a lot, and it was awful. There were a lot of tears about, oh my gosh, I've played all these tournaments, I've worked so hard for this, and now we're Indian Wells in Miami and this is happening, like why? And luckily with, I think, the help of the physical therapy and chiropractor, we were able to kind of get it under control and make some adjustments too with some of my training and recovery, and got it to a place where it was more manageable after Indian Wells. I was able to get a couple good days of practice and I felt pretty confident, but it was still like not, you know, honestly, it wasn't like the amount of time that I was practicing on court and the type of drills that we were doing. I was like, this is going to be hard, like going into Miami. I don't feel like we've had like a practice where I've like physically really exerted myself. And that made me a little nervous. And when I came out in the first round, I had a tough match against Para, a really tricky player, a lefty. And I was happy to really get through that. But I also did a great job of like putting all of that fear, you know, fear of like, oh, am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? Am I too injured? Am I too this? Am I too that? I think so much of what we do are like perfectionists out there. We want perfect preparation. We want the perfect warm up. We want the perfect practice. We want the perfect, feeling perfect all the time. And I think what makes some of these players like the best in the world is that they learn how to play around those things. And that's the thing that I've learned the most this tournament is like, okay, it's never going to be 100%. And you got to figure out a way to, even though you have those challenges, work through it and get through it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In other local tennis news, Feather Sound Country Club in Clearwater will host a series of weekly summer tennis camps for kids ages 5 to 17. The first session begins June 14th. Participants will learn the proper strokes of tennis while participating in special drills designed for both fitness and fun. Bottled water and towels are available at no charge, but players are welcome to bring their own snacks and drinks. Players can register for as many sessions as desired as long as space is available, although each weekly session will be limited to 24 players per level. The sessions run from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, and the cost is $150 per week for Feather Sound members and $165 per week for non-members. Feather Sound will also offer a separate series of summer camp sessions for elite tennis players ages 9 to 17. These sessions run from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and are for players who compete regularly in tournaments. The cost for the elite summer camp is $450 per week for members and $510 per week for non-members. For more information about either summer camp, contact Feather Sound Director of Tennis, Herman Otero, at 727-222-5494 or email tennisshop@feathersoundcc.com. Finally, if pickleball is your game, don't forget about the inaugural Suncoast Pickleball LLC Pickleball Expo on April 18th at the Coliseum in downtown St. Pete. The event takes place from 3 to 7 p.m. and will feature a variety of pickleball and health and wellness vendors, along with pickleball demos and tips provided by local coaches. For more information about attending or exhibiting at the expo, contact Suncoast Pickleball LLC founder Donnie Smith at 727-900-9704, email suncoastpb@gmail.com, or visit www.suncoastpb.com. This has been Coach Brian Hartz for Radio St. Pete. For more information about tennis and pickleball lessons, check out my website, www.sunshinecitytennis.com. See you on the court.